B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Good morning and welcome in, everybody. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you. Farzetta and Trey in the morning here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What a difference a weekend makes in pretty much all aspects of life when you think about it. If you're a golf fan, you had something going on there. If you're a drama fan, you had something going on within golf. We'll get to it in a second. A little Game of Thrones action. We got into that a little bit. And the Phillies made you feel a lot better about the Phillies, which was a phenomenal thing over the weekend. And Bryce Harper made you feel a hell of a lot better about Bryce Harper. How about that? And you know, I was looking over...
let's go Phillies.
I was looking over some of the stuff from the games last night, Raptors game last night. It's a two overtime game, right? And the score is 118 to 115. Like, you're waiting for something a little bit better than that, like higher scoring and whatnot. Giannis held to 12 points.
Yeah.
Did you see the numbers with Kawhi on Giannis Antetokounmpo last night? 2 points. 11% field goal percentage.
Wow.
It was like, do you even think about this earlier, Nick? Like, you didn't want to do that? No? Okay. I guess wait till you get home. But so much to get into tonight, But last night, I'm watching all the stuff with Game of Thrones and all that, right? And a lot of people are angry at the ending of Game of Thrones. They are pissed off at the ending of Game of Thrones. Jamie, I heard you mention in the 5 o'clock hour, I wanted to get into it last week. The whole thing about the petition...
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. I laugh at it, but then you see that, what, like 800,000 people signed this
thing? Yeah, I was going to say close to a million.
Like, what are we doing as a society?
Imagine your own ending, then. And just live with it.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
But I don't want to have spoilers with people today. So as a little side topic today, because there's a lot to get into in the sports world, especially locally in Philadelphia here.
What's there to spoil?
Well, I understand what you're saying. But I don't want, I mean, let people discover the disappointment for themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, one guy already tweeted me. He's like, dude, I love the Fanatic at 5, but I have to sprint and change the channel every time Game of Thrones comes up. I was like, I'm not ruining anything. I'm not going to do that.
Exactly. So I just want to do this with people. If you watched Game of Thrones last night and you want to, you know, talk sports with us, that's great. And if you want to give a review, I'm only taking one word. So I saw on Twitter people, the word I saw the most on Twitter was fine. I'm fine. It's fine. My review is fine. Yeah. It was like, that was, and I was like, that's not a review.
Fine's not glowing.
And then I saw one person was like, I actually liked it. And then people just burned that person to the ground. So we'll talk about it just a little bit. Just one word responses, because I know people want to talk about it. One of the most watched shows in the history of it forever. And I know people want to get it off their chest. I'm taking one word responses.
Okay.
No more. No spoiling air. I have a what dump button. I have a hang up button.
My word.
Well, I think I know your word.
Snooze.
That's a good on-demand snore, man.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
That sounded like a sound effect.
Not a sound effect. I was just, you know, it's funny, Trey. When you said that one word, I was like, I was going to snore. I was going to do it for you, and then I was like, same wavelength.
Yeah, that
same
was me.
Wavelength.
That yeah.
Well, anyway, so right. We'll just get people's one word responses today when it comes to the Game of Thrones finale last night. But then I know people will have a lot more than just one word when it comes to the way Bryce Harper was able to turn things around over this past weekend. He was nothing but the guy that you signed. Like, he was the guy that you signed. A mammoth home run. StatCast has been around since, what, 2015 now? This is the second longest home run of the StatCast era, is the one that he hit on Saturday to help support Aaron Nola.
466.
466 feet. I remember Ryan Howard hit one right over the batter's eye, and I just remember thinking when that ball disappeared, when it went over the batter's eye, that brick wall in center field, when it went over there and just disappeared, I just remember thinking, oh my God, that's got to be 500 feet, whatever. And it was only like 260-something.
I remember it almost hit that ATM out there. There's a Citizens Bank ATM, and it almost hit that. It landed right in front of it.
Well, it's marked, isn't it?
There's a mark there.
So Bryce Harper hits that home run, and it was one of those things, and we'll play it for you a couple of times throughout the show today. But and we've talked about this with a couple other things this year with Harper and Hoskins. But the sound the ball makes when it collides with his bat and jumps off into oblivion, right? It is just the sound of perfection. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it is. It's the sound of, this is what we waited those 118 days for. These magical moments that you had over the weekend. And he basically went out there to help you win two games. Had the game winner last night, then had, or yesterday afternoon, then before that had what would be the game winner with a double, I think it was Friday night. So he drove in a couple of runs there in the fifth inning. He was doing an incredible job throughout the entire weekend, and it was something that you knew was just, it was about to snap into place. So the question now for a guy like Bryce Harper, now that they're 2.5 games up in first place, they were only a game and a half the last time we spoke. Now they go into Wrigley against a team that is only outslugged by the L.A. Dodgers in the National League. They go into Wrigley Field to face the Chicago Cubs for a 4-game series. Is this the moment that Bryce Harper turns that corner? Do you get the feeling that now Bryce is going to go on a bit of a tear? I mean, he went on a tear this weekend, but I'm talking about a 2-3 week run where you're watching Bryce Harper just absolutely dominate. Do you get that feeling in your gut that he's turned the corner for the season?
No.
Not yet?
Still too early? I don't. Like, two homers that he hit, absolute bombs, and watching the game yesterday, you're right. When it hit the bat, it's kind of like, whoa, there's that sound that I heard yesterday, too. That's good stuff. I said to Jamie, you know, when you start to break out of slump, silly things happen to you sometimes. He hits that pop-up in the first inning, yesterday, guy loses it in the sun, and he gets a single out of that. Like, good things happen to you when you're about to break out of it, but I don't know. I don't feel it. He's up to 222. Up to 222. But he had an at-bat yesterday. It was like a four-pitch swung and missed three times. It's like, what? I don't know. I don't feel it yet.
Are you feeling it? I'm feeling it a little bit. The only thing that gives me pause is that it took him quite literally about 70 games last year to turn the corner.
Yeah, it'd be a little early.
This would be a little early for Bryce. But maybe he feeds off the crowd here a little bit better. Maybe he likes the competition a little bit better. Maybe he likes his locker room a little bit better, his clubhouse. Maybe all those things just make him more comfortable faster than it would in D.C. Maybe that's how he does it. Maybe that's how he turns the corner. But I'll tell you this. No one's going to give him a fastball 94 miles per hour out over the middle of the plate like that ball was on Saturday. Yeah. That ball was nothing but crushed. And Trey, as a man who made his living on power and nothing but power, when you watch a baseball player smack a baseball like that, do you get that vibe of power? Do you respect the power of the baseball?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even especially when they show, like, hey, let's take another look at his swing and a nice compact swing and the way the ball sounds when it's coming off the bat. I mean, it's definitely there.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. And then I saw this too from people last night. With the way the Raptors played, They lost the first two games, right? They came back, they won last night in overtime, right? We mentioned that, double overtime. Do people have the feeling that they should have beat the Raptors? Are people now, more than ever, looking at this as, this should be us facing the Bucks?
Yeah.
Like, I understand.
I view it that way.
I understand that it was a freak circus shot from Kawhi Leonard that bounced around a couple
shouldn't
of times.
Shouldn't even have come to that.
Shouldn't have come to that.
It was game four where they lost the series.
100%. I absolutely agree. But I get the feeling that people, more so than ever, because of the fact that the Raptors went into last night, they went into that game down 0-2, two games to none, they went down in that series. Now they win that game in overtime, and people are still in the vibe of, I can't believe that we lost to this team. Like a 7-game series against a team that was basically outranking you all season long. Now, more than ever, people are like, oh, this team we should have had, no problem. Shouldn't even been 7 games.
That's funny. I look at it like, wow, I think the Sixers are such a better matchup against Milwaukee than Toronto.
Well, that's, I 100%
you know what I
agree
mean?
With that. Yeah,
yeah, that's the way I looked at it. Not like, oh, but I do. I think the Sixers would have matched up really well against Milwaukee, and that would have been a far. Now, this could turn out to be a great series. Mm-hmm. But like I said to Jamie, it took everything Toronto had to win a must-win game three at home last night in double overtime in a game where Giannis did nothing except grab 23 rebounds. But it makes you think like, wow, Milwaukee really does overmatch Toronto. I think the Sixers would be a far better matchup against Milwaukee.
I don't think there's any question there. But
which makes you say, this sucks!
Well, yeah, because you knew that was going to be the better...
How much fun would it be if they were playing right now?
It would be incredible. It would be absolutely incredible. But that's the point, though. When you look at the Raptors, you knew that was going to be a tough matchup for the Sixers. You knew going up against the Bucks, if you had a chance to play them in this round of the playoffs for the conference finals, you knew looking at the Bucks that you were going to be the better matchup.
Like, you knew that that was going to be the Raptors had a couple of mismatches for you, one being obviously Kawhi Leonard and then a deeper bench. But the Sixers proved that if Joel Embiid was healthy, you don't got to rely on that bench nearly as much. Again, Boban Marjanovic, so what, the 12 minutes he played was a minus 18 or whatever? Or 7 minutes he played was a minus 18. So that's what I think a lot of people are looking at going, oh my goodness. Now, speaking of Bobby is doing interviews now to promote the movie John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little soundbite from Bobby over what he was doing over the weekend to help promote the movie. And there was something that takes place in the NBA that happens in the NBA quite frequently that allowed Bobby to hone his acting chops, let's just say. So we'll break that down. And then have you ever, Trey, walking off the field, right? Did Rosa ever meet you on the field or anything like that?
No.
No, the locker room?
No.
Not the locker room. What do you call it?
Either, I think Trey and Brooks Koepka probably have a lot in common.
she was always in a suite. So
she was in a suite?
Yeah.
What do you think would happen if you were walking, I don't know, off after a victory, or you're walking to a game or whatever, and the cameras capture you walking into the building, and Your wife goes in for a kiss, or and you firmly turn your face away from kissing motion.
It was the best look off I've ever seen.
Because that's what happened to Brooks Koepka.
I believe this is his second time doing it.
That's what I saw too. Yeah,
I'm pretty positive he did it before, pretty blatantly.
The best look off I've ever seen.
See, I thought the only other thing that happened was when he was walking. Or Tiger Woods was walking by, and his girlfriend, Jenna Sims.
She did eye him up. Yeah,
she gave him the old, sup.
Yeah,
you know?
That happened.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure she came out for a kiss on the green after winning one before, and he kind of, did the turn from the kiss and, did the hug, reluctantly.
Yeah, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, don't embarrass me here.
What are you doing?
Kissing me in public?
Whoa.
Sam Wilson, what's your take on this?
I thought we talked about this. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I would be so angry if I went to kiss Dion and he did
she
it.
Was pissed.
I would be so angry.
She was pissed.
And then had to do, the I'm cool strut.
Yeah.
You could tell she was
ahead.
Her blood was
the
boiling.
The folding of the arms gave it away, though.
Yeah, she was pissed.
She was not a happy
He was my hero for that moment. I was like, oh, yeah, that's what an awesome look off.
Are you anti PDA?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
You're okay with PDA?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I'm okay.
Time but I just like the way he did it.
Yeah. Well, the way he did it was a camera in front, which she's thinking that camera better not be rolling right now.
Oh, and it was rolling.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't rolling.
He was like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah. All right. So as you can see, we got so much to get into today. We got a lot of stuff going on with the Phils and other fine stuff as well.
But what are you doing?
I do like we talked about this. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear the Harper home runs because they're nothing short of amazing. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic 612.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. I got to tell you, 6 o'clock hours brought to you by Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners. Attention contractors, get job site delivery on all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear. Shop online at PantherEast.com. So over the weekend, we're all hoping the Phillies are able to bounce back from dropping, 3-4 to the Rocky, or excuse me, 3-4 to the Brewers. Or this time last week, right? You know, we're talking about how the Phillies are kind of worrying us a little bit here. They dropped 3-4 to the Brewers, then they bounce back with this weekend sweep of the Rockies. Then what happened was Bryce Harper throughout the weekend. absolutely demolished two baseballs. But it wasn't just that. Friday, as I mentioned earlier, Harper goes out there. Game-clinching two-run double in the fifth inning. It was nice to see that from Bryce. Kind of break out of things right there. Then Saturday is when the monster mammoth home run happened. You had a good feeling, Jamie. You had a good feeling going into the game already about Aaron Nola.
Yeah.
That he was going to go out there and deal.
No excuses.
Weather was going to be nice. What, 76 degrees?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Beautiful Saturday.
Pristine weather. Great baseball weather. Nice little day game for you. So Aaron Nola does his deal, goes out there, six innings, tries to go out there for seven, but didn't work out too well. Allowed one run, struck out a 12. Not too shabby for Aaron Nola. He got a lot of run support, not a lot in the first inning, really, with this mammoth home run from Bryce Harper. And Trey, just listen to this. Here's a sound that just sounds like 466 feet. Here it is, courtesy NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Center field. That sounded as good as the one yesterday. It is gone into the Phillies' bullpen. And the Phillies take the lead. It's 7-5. It's the second two-run home run of the inning for the Phillies.
That was actually the one from yesterday, but same type of deal. That's only That's only 404 feet.
Yeah, that sounded like 404 feet. The other one.
Oh, like just crushed, murdered that ball. But here's the deal. I don't understand this. Like, StatCast comes out with all this great stuff. The second one that he hit yesterday was 404 feet, but it was like the back of the Phillies bullpen. Like, isn't the home run at Citizens Bank Park, dead center field, isn't that 408 feet?
Yeah, something like that. A lot of times it doesn't make any sense at all.
No. And I remember when they moved the wall back. Remember? They actually moved. Trey, do you remember this? They moved the wall back at Citizens Bank Park when they first opened it. All these balls were flying out of the ballpark. And what's his name? Larry Bowe was like, yeah, we gotta move that. It's just ridiculous. So they actually moved the wall back. And I remember they went out there. Like, people would go out there with golf things. Jamie, what's the thing you have? That you were using kilometers? What was it?
the rangefinder.
The rangefinder, yeah. People were going out there with rangefinders. And being like, yeah, that wall is, first off, it says what it was on the wall itself. But then they were like, oh, no, if you actually measure it, it was actually shorter. Mm-hmm. So that's where they decided to move the wall back. It was a crazy thing that happened. But so whatever. It's 480 feet to dead center field. He blasts at 404 feet. The one he hit the night before, the day before, 466 feet. It was a gargantuan home run. So I asked this question because now some things are going to be changing with the Phillies. They made a bit of a move, and we're going to be joined by Jason Stark at 8 o'clock. He's going to help us break down all the things going on with the Phillies. Phillies did something interesting, maybe semi-controversial, depending on how you're breaking it down here over the weekend. They decide to obviously activate Scott Kingery off the disabled list. Mm-hmm. He had been battling a hamstring injury. So he comes up out of a double-A Reading from his rehab assignment, and they option Nick Williams down to triple-A. Nick Williams has been getting a little bit of reps here and there with some injuries in the outfield, whatever. But now they decided with Scott Kingery coming back, and they start him in center field yesterday, and they move down Nick Williams. Interesting thing considering that the club has a lot of confidence in the guy, but now they have Bryce Harper, they have Andrew McCutchen, and they have Odubel Herrera as their regular center fielder, or if they want to put him in a corner spot, whatever. An interesting move, I thought. Now, Kingery is a guy they've already invested a lot of money in. Considering he hasn't done anything yet in his big league career. He comes back yesterday, got you a hit, got you a stolen base, and didn't look too terrible in center field. But he's going to be a guy that they're going to be bouncing around quite a lot, quite a bit, to make sure they can get him those reps. Is this the right move from the Phils? You figure they already invest a lot of money in Scott Kingery. They don't have much invested at all in Nick Williams. They have a plethora of outfielders. Now they're taking essentially a second baseman shortstop, is what he's been through his very brief major league career, and saying, yeah, get back
out. Let's open it up
and chat. Get back to the outfield. Is it the right move by the Phils?
It's tough. I mean, Kingery needs to get some at-bats, obviously, at the big league level, because last year he was just totally overmatched. What are your plans for Kingery? Everything hinges on what are your plans for Kingery. Is he going to... Cesar Hernandez is sitting over 300. Is he a hot commodity right now? You looking to move him, plug in Kingery, and then bring Williams back up? All right, there's your set line, or, you know, your set roster. I don't know. I the whole Kingery thing is just weird to me. It was weird that they signed him like the way they did. It was weird that last year he was so overmatched, but they had to stick with him because of injuries. And then this year, you just kind of, like, don't have any at-bats for him at all?
And think about it. Before he got hurt early in the year, he wasn't getting any at-bats.
No.
They went like 13 straight games with Cesar Hernandez at second base. Mm. I don't know. I don't know what their kingery thought is. And I think that, you know, that makes everything else roll. Like, what happens with Nick Williams? What do you do?
Well, Cesar Hernandez has timed this perfectly because he was struggling for a while at the plate.
Yeah.
Then, you know, Kingery starts his rehab assignment. And next thing you know, you have a guy like Cesar Hernandez in 368 in the month of May.
Yeah.
So, like, he knows what's going on. He is trying to stay in that lineup. It would be more helpful if he played better in the field and then have some mental errors here and there. But at the plate, he has been getting the job done. And he's been a good hitter for the most part of his career. So now with Kingery coming back, all of a sudden this guy's hitting almost 370. It's a crazy thing, and the Phillies already have that money invested in him. But the lead story from the weekend, and that was just one of the controversial things that happened. Like I said, we'll talk to Jason Stark at 8 o'clock when it comes to all the things going on with the Phillies. But the lead thing is whether or not Bryce Harper has really turned that corner, as I said earlier. You see the power from yesterday. You see him playing well in the field. He had been playing well in the field, even in that Brewers series where they got their tails kicked. He played well in the field, and that was a knock on him coming into Philly. But now it seems like, Trey, they got a little bit of that spark back. Now it seems like they're having that fun again. The big test is going to be what happens over this four-game series in Chicago against the Cubs.
Yeah, because here you are. You're right back at it again. And yeah, they are starting to, the bats started warming up, and then Bryce Harper starts slapping them out of the park again. Here we go. That's what we've been waiting for. Energy is back in the stadium. And then now you get done with this series, you hop right back on in, and you're back into Chicago. Man, that's the beauty of baseball.
And then Milwaukee. You know, like you Milwaukee. Go right to Milwaukee after this Chicago series. So you got a tough 8-7-game stretch here.
Mm. And Milwaukee is in Atlanta with the Braves right now.
Yeah.
Well, they were at least, yeah.
Yeah. So I think you asked earlier, is Bryce Harper starting to turn the corner? Damn hope he is if this is your next 7 games, you know, at Chicago, at Milwaukee, because those guys rake.
These are the tests. These are the tests that we'll go back to later in the year, much like we did with the Sixers and how they did against the top, you know, the top tier talent, right? Those teams. This is the test right now for the Phillies. And it's funny talking about this in May, but really this is the test right now for the Phillies to see what they can do against those better opponents. Yeah, you're going to have your moments against the Marlins in the division, and Jason Stark has certainly told that to us many times when it comes to this division. It's going to be about who's beat the Marlins, who takes advantage of playing that team over and over again throughout a season in the division. Those are going to be big for you. What else is going to be big is how you do against these top-tier teams. Well, how you do against a team like the Cubs. How you're going to do when you go out and you face the Dodgers eventually, right? Mm-hmm. That's really, and the Brewers now. That's how you know you're going to have an elite team. Your first place, you've been first place for the vast majority of the season. Have they been out of first place for like more than a day?
Not really. The first week of the season's kind of a blur.
Yeah, right. Well, they were winning that first week of the season.
Yeah. I don't think they really have been much.
So you look at it,
and that's without Bryce Harper getting hot.
Exactly.
So look out if he does.
Well, he started okay, and then you've cooled off tremendously. Yeah. And now
Franco cooled off. We've had guys cool off, and they've maintained.
Yeah. And McCutchen hasn't really done much for you yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go up and down the lineup, it's amazing that they're as good as they are with getting the limited production that you would think they would have gotten.
It's insane.
And it really is. Like, McCutchen's hitting 243. Harper, 235. Oh, Harper's up to 235, huh?
Up to 230.
Yeah. Hoskins, Hoskins has been okay, but 261, 228 for Franco. Like, you're not getting the production that you thought you would get, yet you're 8 games over 500 and 2.5 ahead.
How is this team in first place?
The Mets and the Braves suck right now.
And then when those guys do produce, when they do get a hit, it's out of the park.
Yeah, you know? Right, yeah.
And plus, their on-base percentage is pretty decent, mm-hmm. too. I mean, even the thing with McCutchen and with Harper, even Hoskins, like, their on-base percentage has been good. And Cesar Hernandez, who's never really been a good on-base guy, like, on-base percentage has been incredible. That's not really been his thing.
His average will be, like, 312, and then his on-base is, like, 340.
Exactly.
Like, oh, cool,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, now that he's batting down in the order, okay, but you still want to see him get on base.
This Segura.
Gene Segura is just a monster.
Yeah.
Mean Gene.
But he missed time.
Yeah.
It killed. That's when you had your slump as a team.
Exactly.
It's just crazy. I don't know how the Phillies are in first place right now.
Like, I watch the games and stuff, and I'm like, things will blow you away. Like, little moments. Like, JT Realmuto will throw a guy out at second base on a laser.
I think he's got, like, more than double the next closest guy in all of Major League Baseball.
He is about 18 now.
Yeah. I think the next closest guy's, like, 8 or 9.
It's insane what he's doing
this
year.
He's so good.
He's unbelievable. Yesterday was his first home run since April 6th, by the way.
Wow.
And it was a game he wasn't even supposed to play in. Did you hear Gabe Kapler after the game talking about it?
No.
He was talking about how he had to beg JT Realmuto to sit out. Like, dude, I'm not using you today.
Yeah,
all right?
I saw that.
Yeah. And he's like, he tells him, I can't use you today. You need a break. And he's like, the hell I need a break. He's like, please, just have a seat. Sure enough, pinch hitter in the game, home run.
Yeah, take that.
So,
almost, I say pay me.
Right. Guys are dripping with sweat.
They're on high fives.
But you're going to need him in this next stretch here. You're going to need him in a 4-game series against the Cubs, and you're going to need him against the Brewers as well.
I believe he'll get the. Is Eflin and Knapp there? Are they full time connection? Like they're
the battery?
Yeah,
I think so.
So I guess he'll get a day off on Tuesday.
I'm done with Knapp. I'm done with him. The guy can't hit. Yesterday,
he calls good games. You can't knock the success Eflin's having this year, right? He's a backup catcher.
It's in spite of it. Yeah, but okay, so your backup catcher, he got 3 walks yesterday, but he always does something in the game that just bothers me, whether it's stupid hitting, whatever. Yesterday, McCutchen hits that double off the base of the fence with bases loaded, I believe, or whatever it was, and he's going back to tag up. It was the longest single you ever see. It hit the bottom of the fence, sits out there for a second. McCutchen gets a single because Knapp's coming back to tag up. McCutchen had nowhere to go.
It's amazing.
Why are you coming back? You should be halfway.
They're a pretty dumb baseball team.
They amaze me with their stupidity. They really do.
They don't go over this stuff, man.
My God, you learn in Little League halfway. Fly ball halfway.
You have to practice it. You don't have time to practice it.
And he's going back to first to tag up. Tell me Knapp's going to tag up and go to second on a fly ball.
Hell yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
No, but that's the thing. I'm watching this team over the weekend, and look, it's easy to think of them as a first-place team when you have Harper hitting bombs and you have Nola going 6 strong and 12 strikeouts, whatever.
And by the way, Bob, Knapp's average is 167.
I got a Bob.
So stop railing on the guy.
No, Bobby.
167? Oh, Bobby over here. Yeah, ripping the guy in below the Mendoza line. Relax.
Like, I'm watching the team, though. And
Bobby.
They have these great moments. And I'm like, how are they in first place? Like, when you watch them play, it feels like they should be a 500 team.
Yeah, kind of.
And I know, look, they're not far off. What are they now? 5-6 games over 500, whatever they are. 8 games over 500. Like, it's like, what am I watching? And then you watch those base-running blunders, or you watch Cesar Hernandez bobble a ball, or you watch Sean Rodriguez not know where to go with the ball like on Wednesday.
Franco did the same thing the week prior. We forgot about it when talking about it last Thursday.
Then, you know what? It was.
They don't practice it.
Well, the other part of it was I did finally see the Baltimore play with Chris Davis. Did you see this?
No.
They had a rundown situation that really shouldn't have been a rundown situation. And they threw home for a guy that was like basically already standing on home plate and already scored. It was like it was somewhat crazier than Sean Rodriguez. But neither here nor there, I was like, and the Phillies say, we're dumb. And the Orioles are like, hold my beer. So it was just, I watched this team. What's the number one reason this team's in first place? Like, consistently speaking.
Gene Segura.
Isn't it
Gabe
nuts?
Kapler.
Schedule?
Gabe the Babe?
Yeah, Gabe the Babe. Yeah.
I think he just physically is presenting beautifully right now.
What'd you go with, Bob?
Schedule?
Okay, I'll go with schedule.
I think it's the heart of your order. I think it's Gene Segura, Reese Hoskins, and JT Realmuto. They've been consistent, steady, and the main reason, and you know, you've gotten pretty decent starting pitching. You know, like your Eflins and Eichhoffs have stepped up. And
Eichhoff got hit a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
4 runs.
Yeah.
Didn't look particularly great.
Cole Irvin.
I'll tell you, the first home run he gave up was a go down and get it type of home run. Like, that was, that ball had no business leaving the yard, but hey, credit to, I forget who it was yesterday, hit the first one off him, but it was a good pitch, and the guy just clocked it, and simple as that. But that wasn't his best stuff yesterday. He had his hook working, but that was about it. Anytime he tried to go fastball on a guy, it would end up in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been good this year, but yesterday that wasn't happening. Like, the consistent part of the Phillies game seems to be the stat that I know a lot of people get all hyped about right now, which is on base percentage.
Because if you look down, if you go down the order, you just look at guys like McCutchen who's still getting on base. Gene Segura, obviously, still getting on base. Hoskins, Harper, like all these guys still getting on base. JT Realmuto. These guys are getting that done. And even Cesar Hernandez, again, over the last month here, the last 20 days or so, he's been not only hitting for average, but he's been getting on base. And he's been actually producing for you at the plate.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but the consistent thing with the Phils, if you had to say why they're in first place right now, it's not like some onslaught of power. It's basically that they're getting guys on base and they get the timely hit.
Yeah, they do get guys on base, and I was saying in the 5 o'clock, they left 22 on base yesterday. And that's like the second time in, I'll say, three or four games they've left over 20 on base. You're seeing high teens, low 20s a lot with this team, and that's concerning, but... It lends to what you're saying. They do get on base. Mm-hmm. They're out there to be had. It's just a matter of, are they getting it enough? If they hit with runners on base, 8 games over 500 easily right now could be 12, 13.
Mm-hmm. And this is the part I want to avoid. Because, Trey, this was the problem last year with the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
They would be consistently in first place for the first 4 months of the season. It would be at most a 3.5-game lead. 2.5-game lead, 1.5-game lead, and it would fluctuate between there. And then August hit, and they just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see the Phillies this early in the season just take a stranglehold on the NL East. I would just love to see them start running away with it. And it's going to be tough when you have a game coming up, these four games against the Cubs. It's going to be tough with a series against the Brewers in Milwaukee. It's going to be tough to try to establish yourself right here, but this is the big test. This is the big test when you have these big clubs. And here's the other part about it. Bryce Harper, his career numbers, when you look at it in Wrigley, this is a guy that needs to step up. I mean,
his dog's name's Ridley.
Exactly.
Wrigley. Stop being a coward, Bryce.
And Chris Bryant's right across the way there. Yeah, his childhood buddy.
Imagine those two on a youth baseball team together.
Yeah, it's a championship.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But this is going to be a big series for Bryce.
And we see our old buddy Cole.
Yes,
Cole versus Cole.
Yeah. If you look at it throughout the series here, this is good. It made us break down a series, right? This is a big one. But I'm serious.
Arrieta returning home tonight. That's cool.
So you have Jake Arrieta versus Darvish. That's tonight.
Who stinks this year? So you can hit him.
Yeah, so, two guys that should not be paid, but were. Darvish more so, obviously. Then Tuesday night, you got Eflin back on the mound against Quintana. Then you have Wednesday. You have that's the Cole squared. Bobby, heard you reference that.
Mm-hmm.
Irvin versus Hamels. Then Tuesday, you have Nola versus Lester. The only day game on this in this series.
That should be a good one. Lester's pitching pretty well this year.
I can't wait. Like, I'm giddy for this.
With our hours, the 2:20 start is phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, I said it's awesome.
Yeah, like, that's great.
Yeah, and so we got that series going on this week. And then there's something else going on. Trey, there's some OTAs, I believe, going on.
Oh, yeah, OTAs.
We had some news yesterday about a guy that you actually played against his rookie year. He called it a career.
Yeah, man.
Chris Long.
With a red solo cup.
Yeah. Respect.
Yeah, just went picnic cup. Like,
yeah.
Family reunion, barbecue cup, just...
One of the other slides was a keg, and he just had a bag of ice on top. So he just was sitting out back with a keg of beer, looking out at that majestic, marveling at the views.
Just
of
marveling.
Wow. Marveling away. Having a blast.
I was just down there.
In Virginia.
I was just down that area. It is beautiful. And I was looking at it, and I go...
That's a nice piece of land he owns there.
I guess that's his, right?
Yeah, that's his house. It's a ridiculous view.
So here's the good news. Lane Johnson said yesterday, like, I'll miss seeing around the city. I'll miss seeing in the locker room and all that stuff. And Chris Long went back and he was like, dude, I'll be around. I'm going to be hitting you up for tickets all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he ain't going anywhere.
His wife, I believe, is from Morristown, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's
so
what's up.
Yeah, so he's going to have a presence in the area for sure, which is awesome.
I don't know if there's been an athlete that's been here for a shorter amount of time.
2 years. And the impact, doesn't it feel like he was a 10-year Eagle?
Yeah.
It does.
It really does.
Yeah.
So I want to get into that a little bit here, because you've told this story before, Trey, but I want you to tell it again about the first time you actually played against Chris Long. You played against Chris Long. Second overall pick he was coming out of college. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. We'll get into that. We'll also let you hear our boy, Bobby. He's now on the media tour promoting John Wick 3. That's it, right? John Wick 3?
Yeah, correct.
The third of the John Wicks?
Yes, it is.
Trey, pass me the drone. Your name is the drone and say, John, pass me the drone.
So, well, let's hear from him now that he's on the media tour. Time of the Fanatic is 6:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. I have to tell you about the Fanatic deal of the week. Get a 2019 Victory Golf Pass for only $29 with Fanatic's deal of the week. Gain access to over 300 of the region's best golf courses, including 25 private courses, all at huge savings. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Get your Victory Golf Pass before they're gone. Supplies are limited. So Chris Long decides to call it a career after 11 years. I have to say this. I think he's the most fun athlete I've ever covered. Getting to go in the locker room, have conversations with him. Like, the guy just got it in every aspect. Not just fan relations, but also locker room relations.
I think a lot of his teammates, like I think I saw Dave Zangaro or somebody that covers the team says, yeah, we all loved Chris Long, but chances are your favorite Eagles favorite teammate was Chris Long.
Yeah, okay.
I think it was the same way you feel about covering him, I think is the same way his teammates got to feel about him, too.
I remember talking to him at training camp last year, and he was talking about the Super Bowl, and he just was sick of talking about the Super Bowl. And he's just like, we need to move on.
Yeah.
We need to get past this. It was basically, everyone's telling us how great we are, and now we have a season we have to get ready for. And then what we talk about all throughout the first half of last year was, oh, they look like they're in this like Super Bowl hangover or whatever it might be. I remember saying that the Hungry Dogs ate, and now they're in a food coma. Like, we went through that. And Chris Lowe was like, I'm tired of hearing about the Super Bowl, man. Like, we need to move on from it. So, jokingly, because I had talked to him enough times, I felt comfortable enough being like, okay, good, because I wanted to tell you that you suck at football. And he's like, thank you. That's what I need. And then when he first got here, you know, obviously the last name is Long. So he always enjoyed stretching next to, Fletcher Cox or Johnson. Lane Johnson, you know. And he would pose
right up my alley.
So we went, exactly. Like, it was hilarious. So I go up to him and I ask him about it, and he totally deadpanned us. He was just like, I think you guys need to raise your standards. I don't believe in lowbrow humor, basically. Totally deadpan. He was great. He was just a great guy to talk to in the locker room. And then, above all else, Trey, one hell of a football player.
Yeah.
You matched up with him.
Yeah.
When he was with the Rams, I believe
his
was.
Rookie year.
Poof.
Yeah. Yeah. Just right out the gate, I was like, oh, boy, this cat is going to be good. He didn't beat me for a sack, though. But, you know.
Side note.
He didn't beat me for a sack. But, I mean, just locking up against him, I'm like, man, this cat is going to be good. You know, you have some rookies that you match up against, like Mario Williams. I'm like, man, somebody teach this kid how to rush, he's going to be nasty. But you knew that Chris Long, he just had that energy, he had the power, he came with power bull and then would give you some edge work, you know. And he was steady. And I almost got you, almost on the counts of horseshoes and hand grenades. You know, not in this game. But, I mean, he was just phenomenal. And even when he signed here, and I was over at the NovaCare complex at one time, and I'm bumping into him, and we were having that conversation and just seeing how all the work he does in the community. But you're talking about someone that was born in football. I mean, his dad was a Hall of Fame player here, came from Villanova. So, you know, this was just another, you know, an extension of a home, you know, of an environment for him. And he just fit right in with the city, and just coming in with this team, you know, having that type of leadership that he brought with him was just, I think, spot on. You know, I thought it was a great signing bringing him to the team, and what an awesome player and just legacy that he's leaving here.
And Mark, you hit on it before. Is there a player that's been here for so little time that was so adored? And probably not because of that perfect storm. He comes in, he donates the salary, they win the Super Bowl. He's a really good player. He's totally Philly through and through. He's got the sense of humor, as you mentioned. It was just everything rolled into one in a short period of time. It was like, boom. I was racking my brain during the break and all. I don't remember someone coming in here and having that much of an impact, both on, off the field, socially, whatever it may be, as he had with the fans.
And the dog mask thing, that was him,
yeah.
Lane Johnson, yep. Jason Kelce. Like, that thing took on a life of its own.
And right now, you know, I was going into the season, even looking over these past couple, I'm like, he was their craftiest rusher. You know, when you look at the different moves, you know, he would come with, he was one of their craftier rushers. You know, you could see him, I think Barnett would learn so much from, just because there were a couple sacks. Like, a lot of people didn't pick up on it, where Chris Long would signal to him and was like, look, I want you to bull rush and I'm going to run the high road. You know, you don't see a lot of DNs that think like that, where they're like, you know what? There's no need for both of us to collide behind the quarterback. How about you put pressure in his face and you make him drop back a little bit more, and then I'm going to run the high road. One of the sack fumbles I think he got against the Chargers, where he came in, swatted the ball out of Rivers' hand, that was because he told Barnett, I need you to rush, give me a shallow rush on your end, and then I'm going to take the high road. There you go, sack fumble. And there were a couple times that he did that, and you can see him signaling that. So when you miss that type of rusher, now it's like, oh, man, you know, I hope you guys learn from this, because, I mean, you know, he was an extremely crafty rusher and brought a lot of that veteran expertise to the game.
But now, hold on a second. Now, you said when you face off against him, initially, the first time you played against him, he was trash talking you a little bit.
I was almost there, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, almost only cows and horseshoes and hand grenades.
That guy's got some cojones.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, and it was a home game for me. You know, we played here, and I still had a picture in my basement, a picture of me and I'm going up against each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I have to take
a
picture of that and tweet it out.
Yes, please do.
Absolutely.
No, but he's one of those guys that, like, we've talked about this with Jimmy Butler before, about how it's tough sometimes for a new guy to come in and kind of assert himself as a leader. And Michael Bennett talked about it last year, where he had to sit back for a little bit before he mm-hmm. could come out as a leader. Chris Long was one of those guys, like, in my own circles of friends, those guys are round-arounds. Those are guys, you throw them in the middle of any group of friends, and they make friends.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They complete strangers, and they can just become friends. That's kind of what Chris Long seemed like in this locker room. Mm-hmm. He seemed like he was just meant to be here. And he had great relationships from the get-go. And he was a guy that also, like, forget about all the other stuff, the off-the-field stuff. On the field, he could ball.
Yeah, he could play.
You don't have that other stuff if you can't ball.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, that's understated, right?
If you can't play, everybody,
it's noise.
Yeah, but he could play. He could play. And, I mean, he was an extremely crafty rusher. I think people, you look at the numbers and you're like, well, his sack numbers weren't really there. But, man, there were a lot of times where he was right there. I mean, he put a spin move on a tackle that was so nasty one time. And it was just that the quarterback got rid of the ball, you know. But, I mean, he was an extremely crafty rusher.
Chris Long had the strip sack in the Rams game that helped mm-hmm. him solidify that win. The 2 years ago where Carson Wentz got injured, he had the play in that game. In the playoffs, he had a great play in Minnesota against the Vikings, rather, where he was able to force a fumble.
Hit the quarterback in the chest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He was the guy that he might not be there every play standing out, whatever, but he was a very clutch player, man. Mm-hmm. Down the stretch, you needed a play, he was your man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he just had he had everything that you needed out of a pass rusher. When you're looking at bull rush, then now he'll come up, it looks like bull, double hand swipe, then now here comes it looks like an outside rush spin move, you know. And that's what you need to have as a pass rusher. It can always be the same, where it's always butt and go, butt and go, butt and go, because you start having tackles sit down on you. But he was extremely crafty. I really enjoyed his
game. And hats off to Jim Schwartz, because as much as maybe Chris Long didn't like it, it seemed like he used him really, really well in the I don't want to say limited time, but the way he used him. He wasn't mm-hmm. out there all the time. It was like 30%, 40% mm-hmm. of snaps, something. Like, it just seemed that let him keep that.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.